Good morning. Good morning, my friend. In quadrant five, you're still alive. The ice demons are 12 kilometers away. Good morning to those angel kings living in the clouds, living off of proud things. Good morning to the orange man in his orange helmet. Good morning to the Mega Man in his red hat. Good morning to Harry Balls, and Oliver Twist. Good morning. Can you believe it? It's October the 26th. Fuck. 2024. We're a mere 11 or 10 or I don't really give a fuck how many days away from the most important election in over 40,000 hippos. 45,000 hippos ago, there were Froglon forces yelling and screaming, using their anger energy to take away our Dorito surprise. 45,000 years ago, I mean hippos ago, I mean flamingos, I mean parsecs, I mean I don't know. I sound like NASA, don't I? We are so close to the most important election of all of the most important elections of your lifetime. Now keep in mind, if this crooked neo-Stalinist hellhole is still limping along in 4 years, that election will be the most important of your fucking lifetime. More important than now, if this system is still cooking in La Ocho in 8 fucking years, that'll be important too. The most important election will be what? The election of 2032? That's how it goes, my friends, my hoes and bros. My fellow scrumblies on the road to nowhere, this is the most important fucking election of your lifetime, and I hate to break it to you. I don't care who you fucking vote for. It's not going to change what happens next. That doesn't mean I know for certain what happens next. Just like in 2019, when I had my own clarion call of screaming in the wilderness, I said, some shit's about to happen. September 2019. That's when my limited five-time listeners could hear. And I wasn't special. But a lot of people's alarms went off in late 2019. And mine did too. And said that whatever's happening next, it ain't more the same. I'm just drinking a little of my sacred coffee here. As the sacred warbler of the voice scream of the Bolobian text of the ancient times, according to Bo Blimptalk, towards a new lurching, as I lurch towards the future, as I lurch towards the past, as I lurch towards the bathroom to wipe off my fucking ass. Yeah, there you go. Sacred coffee. Just for me and you. This is the most important election of your whole lifetime. If Donald Trump wins, he's going to build a space tunnel all the way from Las Vegas to Mar-a-Lago. The space tunnel will also travel to the moon and Mars. Elon Musk will design the space tunnel. You'll get sucked into it, and you'll get thrown all kinds of directions. If Harry Balls wins, they're gonna give you chicken. They're gonna give you cheese from the Great Cheese Cave. If Oliver Twist wins, you'll get another bowl of pudding. Won't you feel nice, Puddle Flower? Yes, the most important election of your lifetime. But it is just after 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, October the 26th, 2024, here on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from so many terrible things that have been done in the past that we just prefer to be, you know, like, I don't know, forget about it, man, have amnesia. So many terrible things have happened around here. So many ships have been sunk in the Salish Sea. So many bodies have been dumped in that Crescent Lake place. We all know the truth here, you see. So many fucking vampires in Forks, but they're real. They're not supernatural. They're humans. They go around. They suck your blood. There are armies forming up in the woods. There are armies in the national park. Klungit gangs, Viking rovers, various kingdoms of road pirates and Scrumbo, and they're up there right now in the Olympic National Forest, and they're just waiting to come for your shit. Good morning. Good morning, fuck you, I love you. That's going to be the new way we greet each other when we all become Grinkin' men and woe men. And we'll be talking about that in the next few chapters. As you know, I have two audio chapters done of my tome, my Danifesto, Boblimpdoc, Towards a New Lurching. I have about, you know, five chapters written, working on chapter number six, blah, 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 blah. I hope to get caught up and be all the way through chapter 10 In about a week, maybe two, and then by Thanksgiving, I'll be done with this tome, and I'll read it a couple times, because I hate fucking proofreading, and then I'll put it in a document, and upload it to Kindle, and make the setting printable, so if you want to print a copy, and read it on your way to the fucking whatever, I don't care where you're going for Thanksgiving, maybe you're going to Mexico, you can read it on the fucking plane, and I still don't fucking care. First topic. And again, I gotta drink some more sacred coffee, because you can tell I ain't have enough caffeine, baby. Mm-mm-mm. Sacred, sacred coffee. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Pirate kingdoms are commie republics that only make money for their shareholders. I mean it. They're gonna rip you off. They're gonna rape you. They're gonna steal your shit. But their people will have lots of gold, right? Pirate kingdoms are commie as fuck. Here's the thing. When I was in the military, before I was in the military, when I was in graduate school being a really crappy graduate student, I read a few things about ancient Rome. And I read it through the lens, that kind of lens that a lot of these, you know, quote-unquote conservatives will read it through, the history of Rome. And it's the history of a brave people that, you know, brought roads to the world, Dan. They brought roads and riding. They didn't have roads before Rome. Well, that's a theory. Yeah, they did all these great things. They civilized the world. And that is one version of Roman history. Going all the way back to when they, you know, chopped off the heads of the Tarquins and stole that wretched city. Because the thing you need to understand about Rome before we continue, and I've beaten this dead horse before, but I feel okay about it, patrician. If you know, you know. The thing about the seven hills of Rome or whatever, the thing about that city, is it's been a nasty fucking place for a long time. It goes back before Rome. It probably goes back before the Tarquins. It's entirely plausible that if there's a gateway to hell, it's someplace right below, you know, where, I don't know, the Vatican is today. So when people tell me that Rome is a holy place, I do. I smirk, I smile. As an atheist, when I didn't believe in God, I would smirk and smile. I knew the truth, except for I saw it through the lens of this great empire, civilizing motherfuckers, giving them roads for commerce. Hey, there was the Pax Romana, which People talk about the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. Let's be honest there, too. If you lived outside of Rome in the 1st century BC or the 1st century AD, which means that 200-year period, the 100 years before the birth of Christ, the 100 years after, roughly speaking, if you lived in Rome during that period, it was not peaceful. After the Second Punic War ended, and the Roman soldiers that had been at war, some of them for a decade, came back home and found out that their land had been sold, their women had been stolen and raped, their kids had been made into slaves. After the brave Romans came home to Rome and found out the patricians had fucked them up the butt, a period of violence began. So it began, really, 200 years. Well, roughly speaking, before the birth of Christ. And that was violence in Rome itself. The inner violence, the inner battles, that basically the beginnings of what would become the Roman civil wars. And frankly, our concept of civil war comes from this period. And it does not match the American Civil War, which was really like two nations at war. It matches Yugoslavia in the 1990s. That's the best comparison, maybe Lebanon today. So for between 200 and 300 years, Rome, the city, was a really unstable place. And even if people outside of Rome, like in the 1st century AD, could talk about the Pax Romana and how great things are under the emperors now, the reality is that violence didn't really end, you know, until about 100 AD. And even then, it's not like Rome was a great place. It's just that compared to everybody else, it was just a different motherfucker. A different person demanding taxes. They weren't special. They weren't amazing. They weren't civilizing the world. Nobody really gave a fuck. They just wanted to conduct business fuck off. Like a lot of people today, they just want to be left the fuck alone. The best comparison of ancient Rome, the Roman people, the city, because when you think about Rome, you have to think about the city. Everyone looks at Italy. Oh, Italy was... No. Shut up. Read a fucking book. Prior to the Second Punic War, Rome was just a fucking city. Yeah, it had a lot of holdings. It had pieces of territory in Spain, you know, Hispania, whatever what we call Spain today, a few places here and there. But it wasn't really an empire yet. And a lot of its neighbors, you know, bigger neighbors, not nearby neighbors, because they all hated Rome. I mean its bigger, quote-unquote, imperial neighbors just didn't give a fuck. Rome was a puny nothing in the 3rd century BC. And then came the Second Punic War, the famous war in which, you know, Hannibal took his elephants over the Alps, blah, blah, blah. And Rome came really close to losing the Second Punic War. Very close. So close that a lot of these people that glorify Rome don't like to fucking talk about it. And one of the reasons why Rome came very close to losing, and it's related to why the Carthaginians did lose, is because all of Rome's neighbors hated them. Okay? The immediate neighbors, the neighbors that were a few stadia away, the ones you could walk to and pay a visit, their immediate neighbors hated those fuckers. Those were pirates and thieves. If you've ever seen the film The Magnificent Seven or some Japanese film it was based on, understand these were marauders. They would steal your women, they would steal your land, they would steal your shit. That's the truth about Rome. So when people glorify Rome and say, oh boy, couldn't we just be like the Romans? Wake up, motherfucker. We've been there, done that. We have achieved things that the Romans couldn't even dream of. By the end of the Second Punic War, the Romans had hundreds, I think perhaps 300 legions in the field year-round. In the ancient world, that was called unheard of. It would have been, in modern terms, the equivalent of total war. And as big as their army was, and as big as their army would get, and as huge as their empire was in controlling the Mediterranean, it's still not like the United States, with its 800 or whatever military bases that we know about worldwide, and probably another 1,000 that we don't know about. Ancient Rome was a confederacy of thieves. The best comparison would be those pirate kingdoms of the 18th century, you know? And as a pirate armada, the Romans did expand. And like all pirate kingdoms and armada, eventually they retreated back to their island, Rome, and, you know, to some extent, Constantinople, if you know, you know. And the British Empire that wiped out those pirate kingdoms of the 18th century, well, they eventually collapsed too, back into themselves, and they're still collapsing to this very day. It's kind of like what happened to Constantinople in the 15th century, if you know, you know. To this very day, London, England, what we call the United Kingdom, it's collapsing back into itself. All of these kingdoms and empires, all of these governments and states begin the same way, as a kind of mob, as a protection racket, as the strongest dude who formed a bunch of other strongest dudes together, and women, and men and women and gangs going around stealing each other's shit. And, you know, the good farmers would say, well, we need to have our own little pirate army. And sometimes that worked out. And sometimes the forces they formed to defend themselves ended up ripping them off. And if you're a Christian, read 1 Samuel chapter 8 and understand that 1 Sam 8 was more or less written about a half a millennium before the Solon Constitution. So when the Lord says king, he means sovereign, and when he says sovereign, he means government. And everything about the DNA of your sovereign, your king, your government, your quote-unquote president, everything about that DNA is in 1 Samuel chapter 8. If you're willing to read it, Megahead. Because I know the liberals are atheists, so they don't give a fuck. But Megahead, can you read? Read 1 Sam 8 and tell me what you think the Lord in heaven thinks about your president and your fucking empire and how much you worship the Romans. Fuck off, Megahead. There you go. Anywho. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The only space exploration activity I've noticed lately is the arbitrage of failed space schemes. I've noticed this. Somebody has a space scheme. Yeah. Yeah, the only space exploration activity I've noticed lately is the arbitrage, really, of failure. That's a better way to phrase it, Dr. Freckles. I'm going to read you an article, whether you fucking like it or not. If I hit a paywall, I will stop. If I get annoyed by it, I will stop. Headline, Boeing explores sale of space business. New CEO explores options for Starliner and NASA space station in quest to rescue manufacturer. This was written by Sharon Turlip and Micah Maidenberg, and it was published in the Wall Street Journal. On October the 25th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. And I just hit a paywall. So I'm going to stop right here because I'm sick of this shit. Anyways, if you want to pay for that article and read it or read any of the other articles, you can. I don't give a fuck. The situation with Boeing is a lot to unpack. It's a lot to unpack because it really isn't just about one thing. It's sort of like the United States right now. A lot of folks believe they know the one thing that's causing the problem. And the sad truth is, a lot of folks are basically talking about symptoms. Like, they'll say, well, it's homelessness, Dan. If we rounded up all the homeless and put them on McNeil Island. And then they starve and die there. Next. Well, Dan, it's the Muslims. Oh, my God. The Muslims are coming here. And I know, they're going to blow up another steel frame building. To create a statistically interesting cluster. Okay, continue, shithead. Dan, it's the commies. They're in our government. They're in our bread. They're in our water. Dan, it's the Canadians. Dan, it's the trans queens. Dan, it's Putin. Dan. Yeah. Heard it all. Heard it all. Heard everything. I don't know what to make of outer space. This last week, I went, like I said, if you've been listening to my podcast, you know I went on a field trip to the UW, and we went to the planetarium, and they had a very lovely grad student walk us through the universe, and it was just interesting and polite, and it all made sense. But if you're going to ask me, well, Dan, now that you've seen the movie, the planetarium movie, seeing the planetarium, now don't you just believe that it's all... Well, I don't know what to believe. I tell people, because I often get accused of things that are false, I tell people I'm a cosmological agnostic. In my lifetime, in my 54 years, but let's be more specific, in my roughly, 36 or 7 years, maybe 35 years, who knows, of giving a shit, which means sometime when I was 14 or 15, I started giving a shit beyond the scope of my own life. In that period of fucking, let's say, 40 fucking years, I've seen a lot of things. You know, I've seen a few things, and I've seen people tell me things about space and about the universe and about other stuff. It's not just about space, by the way. It's about the food we eat. Oh, you know, the food pyramid. Well, that was an interesting pyramid, and I think it killed a lot of people. I think the carbohydrate Norman Borlaug food pyramid killed a shit ton of people, and it's still killing people. But I was told it was the Green Revolution, and the guy got the Nobel Peace Prize, and he was a fucking genius. All he really did is optimize the rate at which you can consume topsoil. Now, well, Dan, topsoil's garbage. There are people who talk about agriculture and say topsoil's garbage, and the same stupid fucks will explain to you what's in their hydroponics mixture. It's not just water, Dan. Oh, really? Well, then imagine that dirt ain't just dirt, you fucking retard. Oh, God, you used that word, Dan. Yeah, I gotta put $20 in the jar. So when people talk to me about space, it's not so much that I think space isn't real, it's that I don't really give a fuck. In terms of my life, the people around me, the people I care about, it's not relevant. It really isn't. It might give them something to fantasize about, and that's a drug. And I understand drugs. I do. And for the reason I'm not going to judge too harshly on your space obsessions, I ask others to not judge me too harshly. Like, let's leave each other alone when it comes to our drugs. But that's how I see the space stuff. At best, it's a kind of drug. It's like voting. You go and you vote, you fill out your form, you check a box, and if your person wins, like, let's say you're voting for Trump, and Trump probably wins, because the narrative compass looks like it's pointing that direction. I don't care about polls. Guess what? This time next year, you're going to tell me polls are bullshit. Go fuck yourself. The narrative compass, I believe, as a Sovietologist, is pointing towards Trump, obviously. And it's been pointing that way since July. Since it got really hard after the McPoyle tried to kill him. But he killed somebody else. Somebody got killed, maybe. I don't think we know what happened. But then again, nobody obsessed over Sandy Hook for a decade plus, did they? Sarcasm. Yeah, sarcasm. That was different, Dan. No, not really. Not really. Not different at all. So no, I don't really take seriously the McPoyle plot. I don't have any fucking idea what happened that day. But it does look like since July, the compass of the narrative is pointing towards a Donald Trump win. And so Donald Trump wins, and you're going to get a flood of dopamine, mega man, mega woman, mega bitch, mega dude. You're going to get this flood of dopamine, and you're going to imagine this future. Your taxes are going to go down. There's going to be tariffs. There's going to be new jobs. All of a sudden, industry's going to come back. Everything's going to get better, except it won't, shithead. It didn't the last time. Why the fuck do you think it will this time? That's my principal question. And that's where Megahead is today. Megahead has to pretend that 2020 didn't exist. Because there is no way in which you can recognize the existence of 2020 and deal with Trump. You can tell me that Trump couldn't do nothing. He couldn't do nothing, Dan. He couldn't do nothing against the deep state. He couldn't do nothing. Yeah, okay, then you've just told me, gave me a good reason, to not vote. Next. Well, Dan, I mean, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, God. Either he couldn't do nothing or he was in charge. If he was in charge in 2020, then you're basically voting for a giant piece of shit. It doesn't matter that Biden or Harris are equal pieces of shit. The point is, you don't have any fucking choice. If you're voting because you think the Supreme Court is going to protect your rights, you need to understand something, buddy. The Bill of Rights at this point, and probably since September the 12th, is lipstick on a pig. Since September the 12th, 2001. The point is, there ain't no fucking Bill of Rights. So what the fuck? Why do you even care? To piss people off? Are you stupid? Do you live in a city? Okay? You're the motherfucker who walks into a warehouse full of gasoline and thinks it's funny to toss a stick of dynamite with you and your family inside. You want to piss off people who are already really pissed off. I know, I lived in Seattle in 2020, dummy. You're voting because you want to piss people off? Yeah, I hope you don't live in a city. Because people are already there, and if they're not showing it yet, they soon will. And the narrative compass is pointing towards Trump, and I know this is way off topic, but it's pointing towards Trump because I think he is the greatest train wreck. Like, I believe when they calculate the best trauma monkey, or rather, king of trauma monkeys, because he really is at this point, Donald Trump is the emperor of all the trauma monkeys, and of all the emperors of trauma monkeys, to include Oliver Twist and little Betsy What's-a-Not, and, you know, Harry Balls and all the other possibilities, the Mega Man, the Orange King, is probably going to piss off the greatest number of people. And if what you want is chaos, if what you want is fire, if what you want is everything to go to shit, or rather, if what you want is a giant smokescreen, goddamn, that's Donald Trump right there. You could hide the fucking invasion of Normandy behind his bullshit. So how does this connect to space? Well, here's how. In my lifetime, I feel like space has been used to manipulate people. I think it's been used to manipulate people about what, you know, Frederick Jackson Turner would have discussed more than 100 years ago, the closing of the frontier. I think that it's been used to manipulate people about the freedoms we think we have. I think it's been used to manipulate people into a secular point of view so they can disregard God and Jesus and anything else. But it's also a giant disappointment. Since 1961, fewer than 700 unique people have been to space. And when I bring this up with space people, they usually freeze for a second. And they say, oh yeah, yeah, that's probably true. Well, fuck. That's got to be the shittiest frontier in the history of the world. And when they come back and say, well, it's really, really hard, Dan. Well, between 1968, the first orbital mission, quote, around the moon, to 1972, when they spent, what, 3 days on the moon playing golf? It seemed easy, didn't it? It seemed like they could float around in a kind of shitty Volkswagen Bug and make it all the way to the moon and back here. That seemed pretty fucking easy, you know, Van Allen belt et al. But now it's really, really hard. And the processing power of a chip back then, wow, it was a monkey speck. But you're telling me now, suddenly, it's fucking hard. It doesn't add up. It doesn't mean I give a fuck about it not adding up, but I like looking at people's faces. The space people, the NASA people. And if I run into a NASA person who's also a mega head, they're the funnest people to talk to. Because they directly, almost directly go to rage and walk away. They don't want to know. They don't want to hear. They don't want to understand. They want to be fed garbage. How the fuck do you think this ends, fellas? My friends. How does this all end? Trump represents not democracy, not voting, and definitely not freedom. Trump represents that dark, ugly specter from the unconscious. The representation of all the things you would toss at your neighbor. In some ways, Trump is like that monster. You ever see the film Forbidden Planet? It's a good film. For 1950s sci-fi, I'd say its special effects were, you know, above par. It's a pretty good film. I think Walter Pigeon was in it, you know, the funny guy that did all those police movies, police squad movies, he was in it. It was a funny, funny movie. It was a great movie, it wasn't a funny one. The point is, it was a great science fiction movie, Forbidden Planet, and one of the subjects of Forbidden Planet that pops up is this issue of an ancient civilization that suddenly disappeared. Because they figured out a way to connect their minds to technology and to escape the physical so that everything is mind stuff in that Kantian, Hegelian sense. All things are mind stuff, and they connected their mind stuff to the great machine and threw the switch and went to sleep. Then out of the collective id, out of the deep unconscious, out of the collective memory of old slug people killing each other for scraps with baseball bats, the great Krell, a billion year civilization beyond imagination destroyed each other. Yeah, the monster from Forbidden Planet, the specter, the glowing beast that would pop up when people were, and when one particular person was dreaming, the character that Walter Pidgeon plays, his nightmare manifested, that ugly thing, that's Trump. I don't know him personally. I don't really care to. I wouldn't want to. He looks like a very sleazy dude, but it's not about him. He is the ultimate trauma monkey. And so when you look at circumstances right now and you ask yourself, are we really on the verge of some mourning in America? Or is it more likely that we get more of the same? Or is it way more likely that Trump represents, the twilight of the idols, the Gotterdammerung, the farewell of the gods. The empire's closing out. Put on your Wagner. Play the funeral march of Votan. And watch him float away. In a boat. Covered in straw. Covered in hay. As the archers on the shore fire. And the flaming arrows hit that particular skiff. It's all over, Biff. Because it's just been a moment and a day. And everything is going away, right? That's what Trump is to me. I don't really care that you think he's going to help you. I know he's not. And if you're a grifter, well, Dan, I work in the... I know, you work making missiles. If your job is to make missiles, and you're convinced that Trump will give your company more money to make missiles, shocker, it doesn't matter who wins. They're going to make as many missiles as they can or need to until the end. And it won't matter, Democrat, Republican, it won't matter. By the way, side topic, what the fuck ever happened to the peace movement in the Democratic Party? Oh, it's code pink. I know, it's code pink, which means code limited hangout. I mean the actual anti-war movement. I don't mean the theatrical bullshit. When I show up or other people show up, they tell us to go away. Yeah, that's the anti-war movement, more like pro-conflict. I'm talking about an anti-war movement or an actual peace movement in the Democratic Party. What the fuck happened? Where'd it go? I know it. You can't find it in the GOP. Really, not really. But why is it gone from the Democratic Party? In my lifetime, at least since the Vietnam War, that's been the drip. Well, until Bill Clinton, right? Yeah. There's a lot to unpack there too, isn't there, boys and girls? Yeah. Next, last topic, I don't care. Been talking too long, been ruining your day. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If you're a hobo and you don't die, you become a god. It's not a lie. If you're a hobo and wander the streets, you move from town to town, you carry an awful frown, you stare into the sky, I will not lie. If you don't die, you become a god. The gods are old hobos that wander the universe, finding problems they're going to solve. But one day, the little problems become problems, and then they solve themselves and wander too. You're an alien in a spaceship. Your ship is carrying the secrets to life. You've been traveling through the cosmos for 8.6 trillion flamingos. You've learned the wisdom of the ancient times and have the knowledge of a billion suns. You're heading to a planet with your little bag of tricks on a stick. Like any other fucking hobo. You get to planet X-ray, you dump the glumbus gib, you dump the blomuli, and life begins to die because it has to begin to live if it wants to die. So life begins to die. If you're a hobo and you don't die, you become a god. Of course, that's not true. And if you read the quote, it's lowercase god. I don't really like talking about this issue a whole bunch for different reasons. Number one, I'm not in a great space. I've said this for most of the last year. I'm not in a great space with respect to my faith right now. That's not your problem. That's my problem, but I'm just being honest. So I'm not here to tell you about God so much. That's your business. That's the problem you need to solve. But I can tell you, whatever you believe about the one God, there have been many, many lowercase gods throughout history. And it's hard to say where they come from. I'm a Christian. I would bet dollars to donuts that almost every lowercase god you find on planet Boblimpdoc is connected to a fallen angel. Because it's entirely likely that a lot of these fallen angels, you know, retained a lot of their power, not all of it, probably not much, and they probably became immortal in a sense still, or probably were still. And so they're here on Earth, they kind of seem like gods, they act like gods, they have knowledge, and knowledge is power, and they share that knowledge to build pyramids and castles and giant walls and magical machines. All of it made out of dirt, all of it made out of dust. All of it slowly goes away. And sometimes not so slowly. But if you're a wandering traveler, a hobo, a vagabond, moving through the seven sectors, if you touch yourself, if you love yourself, if you're a wandering street person moving through Philadelphia, if you hug yourself, if you feed yourself, you can stay alive long enough, hobo. You travel to the Arctic, you find an ancient crystal, you toss it into the sea, you now have a home, you ain't no hobo. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, that's great. I mean it. It's great. I love it. I love the idea that you do. Last year, especially during the winter when I couldn't really do anything. I got all kinds of emails. When are you going to do another podcast? I've been doing a number of podcasts in the last couple months, and I, you know, my comms, in that communication sense, my comms, email, you name it, social media, it's been pretty, it's been quiet. It's been strange. I'm not saying A is connected to B. I'm not telling you that I'm special. Rather, a lot of us are very special. We do get manipulated. I bought a domain that I had purchased before, but it came back, it became available again. I purchased it before GoDaddy trashed my site and canceled me and stole my money. And by the way, if you're a constitutional lawyer and you still believe in rule of law, email me, because I have a great case, which is likely a class action, because, again, I'm not fucking special. And it's against GoDaddy. So if you're a lawyer and you'd really like to get into a juicy case that involves freedom of speech and stealing money and probably a lot of corruption, give me a call, baby. Call me on the phone. Oh, and before you... Well, I can't go. Yeah, you can, because, motherfucker, I just bought back that domain, and within the first 24 hours, I got a call from every state telling me, baby. And before I continue, I don't do the privacy protection for the reasons I'm about to go into. I got... Oh, Dan, I'm Charles. No, you're not Charles from California. Oh, Dan, I'm Maria from... No, you're not Maria from Texas. Hello, Dan, I'm Tim from... No, you're not from New Jersey. Hello, I'm Bob from... No, you're not from fucking British Columbia. But I like it. Okay, it's kind of like when the credit cards and banks used to call me. I used to get annoyed. I don't anymore. And guess what? They don't call me any longer. You know why they don't call me? Because talking to the credit card banker, talking to the grifter, talking to the random shithead from some type of boiler room in the Philippines can be a lot of fucking fun. Because when they start calling me, oh, Dan, I'm here to help you with your shitty website. Oh, Dan, I love your Rumble channel, but you could have more followers. What I do is I flip the script. They call me immediately. I say, would you like a coupon for my services? No, sir. Sir, be quiet. Shut the fuck up. Do you want a coupon for my services? Sir, shut the fuck up. Do you have my cocaine? I have all kinds of fun conversations with these folks. I do. I have them at work. You know, my coworker right now, I won't say any more, is a really cool person, and that person has a lot of fun hearing these weird phone calls. Completely guilt-free prank phone calls. It's a really simple formula. Get yourself a burner number. It could be that you're going to get rid of your phone number, whatever. Get yourself a burner number, A, and purchase some domain name. It can cost like $15 for a year. Maybe you've been wanting to, and don't select the privacy option. And you'll get calls and calls, and you can talk to them about your problems. They can call up and you can be crying. I'm just having a bad day. I don't want to talk about it. I'll talk about it, Mr. Sullivan. I'm Tim. I'm Tim from Virginia. Well, Tim, Virginia seems like old cottonwood oak style maple leaf breakfasts, so I'll talk to you about my honey syrup dropping trauma, you fuck. And then I start talking about genital crabs and how many objects I shove up my butt. And the fun part is, just like the credit card companies and the bankers, eventually they stop calling. So it's not just that it's fun, it actually works. I'm pretty certain they share information, and let me blow your fucking mind. Every time they call me, it's not free. I know enough about the industry to know, not only is the call not free, the amount of money that shithead's gonna be paid is not free. Even if it's a Fed program to mindfuck people, how can I phrase this? The electrons, the process, all the phone lines, the actual logistics, the infrastructure that has to exist, like a road that gets washed out on your way to a cell phone tower because, hey, nobody likes Appalachia. None of it's free, brother. So when you do keep them on the phone talking about a problem, when you do mess with them, you're costing them money. Eventually, the credit card company, the banker, the AI, whatever's calling you stops, because it is prima facie. Pretty straightforward proof. You don't need any more. That there is no fucking magic. There is no free lunch. Post-scarcity is a lie, and the system's in collapse, baby. So have some fun with prank phone calls. But if you like my podcast, you can donate to it. Before you donate to the PayPal link that Peter Thiel, the blood drinker, owns and will probably cancel me at some point, listen to the disclaimer. If you have not taken care of your food, water, shelter, do this first. Before you donate to me or any random person, okay, take care of food, water, shelter. The reason why I do this at the end is because you can listen to my podcast and you don't have to pay. If there are people in your immediate life that need help, and I don't mean fake make-believe Twitter people or Facebook people or Instagram fucking TikTok people. I'm talking about real physical people that in a grid-down scenario, you could theoretically walk to their house in a fucking day. If people like that you know and love need help, help them first. if you're setting aside food, 6 months, right? The government says 2 weeks. Yeah, that's some type of thing. If you set aside food and it's like 6 months, right? Because, you know, you're an optimist. Because nobody's basement is big enough. And 6 months is great, but you're an optimist. If you're setting aside 6 months worth of food because you're an optimist, make sure you're thinking about your pet, your dog, your cat. If you care about your dog or cat or your pet, remember that they're going to need to eat too. Or your plan is to eat them, you know, I don't know. But before you donate to me, at least think about them first. And remember, it's not the end of the world. These are crazy, fucked up times. They are. And they're going to get crazier. And it doesn't matter if the narrative points towards Trump. It does not fucking matter. It's irrelevant. Trump, Harry Balls, Oliver Twist, whoever the Green Party's promoting. I don't get the ballot, so I don't fucking care. It does not matter. There are things that do matter. Food, water, shelter, community, security. Those five things really matter. But this political bullshit doesn't matter. But it's not the end of the world. And even though I think things are going to get really tilty for a while, so tilty that many things we take for granted will not function, and that's the nicest way to put it, if you know, you know. Even though I think things most likely are headed that way, and yeah, it still isn't the end of the world. It just means a lot of things that are convenient right now won't be convenient. So let me summarize. Before you donate to me, because it's not the end of the world, donate to yourself. Donate to your family. Give yourself a break. If you've taken care of food, water, shelter, if you've taken care of the prepping you need to do, then before you donate to anybody to include my fucking podcast, donate to yourself and your family and give yourselves a fucking break. But if you've done all these things and you live on a mountain of diamonds and gold and hookers and mold, if you have everything to include beer, you control all your fear, you're the sphincter man of Yacht Zelta. If you're out there floating on the sea, so calm, so centered, you have a massive Bitcoin portfolio. Convert some of that coinage, as you tell me is so easy, and send me that in form of PayPal money. Who knows? I heard PayPal's all crypto. Maybe you can just send me crypto. Does it fucking matter, bozo? It is Saturday, October the 26th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It is 9:20 a.m. This has lasted longer than I would want. In a matter of minutes, maybe hours, the world will infunctuate. Have a great weekend, my friend.